All right, everyone, get ready to dive into the surprisingly delicious world of tax deductions.
That's right.
Specifically for dining and food expenses.
Mm.
Especially if you're a business owner listening.
Yes.
We're going to be talking all about that today.
Looking forward to it.
So we all got to eat right.
Absolutely.
But did you know that all those meals, all those times you're going out with clients or colleagues,
could actually save you money.
Yeah, it could actually help you save money on your taxes.
It's true. And, you know, that deductibility has shifted a little bit recently.
Oh, right.
Right. It went up to that glorious 100% back in 2021 and 2022. But now it's back down to 50%.
But that's still a lot.
But hey, it's still
50% back in your pocket.
It's money back in your pocket.
Okay. So let's say you're out, you're meeting a potential client for coffee.
Okay.
You're just chatting about a project.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're grabbing lunch with a vendor to negotiate a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Can you actually write those meals off?
You absolutely can.
Really?
As long as that meal is directly related to your business.
Okay.
So with clients, partners, vendors, anyone that's key to your operations, really?
Got it.
It falls under that 50% deduction rule.
So drinks, appetizers, even the tip.
Yes.
It's not just the food itself.
No.
It's about the experience of creating a space to connect and get things done.
That's a great way to think about it. But of course, the IRS does expect reasonable expenses. Wow. So you can't go taking your clients to the most expensive restaurant in town every night.
Okay.
And be like, well, you know, this is all in the company.
Yeah.
They're going to raise an eyebrow at that.
Yeah, they're going to say, is that Wagyu beef really essential for this business deal?
Exactly. You need some serious documentation to back that up.
Okay. Good food is good for business. But maybe not that good.
Maybe not that good, right?
All right, so what about meals while we're traveling for work?
Ooh.
I heard that those are also deductible even if you're dining solo.
That's right.
Is that true?
That is true. And this is where understanding the concept of your tax home comes in.
Ooh, a tax home.
It's not necessarily where your house is. It's right. Where your primary place of business is located.
So if I'm a consultant working on a long-term project in another city.
Yes.
For like 6 months, then that city becomes my temporary tax home.
Exactly. That's a great example.
Okay.
So you can't deduct your meals there.
Oh.
But if you're traveling for just a few days for a conference, then those meals would be deductible.
So the key is just being away from your tax home for business purposes.
Exactly.
And if you happen to be having meals with clients or colleagues.
Yeah.
During those trips, that still falls under the 50% rule.
Same 50% rule we talked about.
Okay. This whole tax home concept, I feel like, is so important, especially as more and more people are working remotely.
Absolutely.
You know, defining that primary place of business is key.
It's crucial. And with so many people working from home offices or co-working spaces.
Yeah.
It can get a little murky sometimes.
Murky is a good word for it.
It's really more crucial than ever to understand where your tax home truly is.
So we've covered meals with others, and we've covered meals while traveling.
Right.
What about all the snacks we keep in the office break room?
Oh, the snacks.
Who write those off to?
We can definitely talk about that. Office food, as we like to call it, falls into its own separate category with its own set of rules.
Right.
Now, the important distinction to make here is that food provided for customers, it's 100% deductible.
Right.
But food for your employees, that falls under that 50% rule.
Okay, so even after those tax law changes, if I'm keeping my clients happy with a fully stocked snack bar, that's still completely deductible.
Still 100% deductible.
That's great incentive to create a really welcoming environment.
It is, and it makes your clients happy, and it can actually be a good business expense.
And on the employee side, 50% off those recurring coffee, tea, pizza.
Yeah, those little things can really add up over time.
Yeah, for those late night work sessions.
Definitely worth keeping track of all those receipts.
I'm glad you mentioned receipts.
Yeah.
Because I feel like documentation is a recurring theme here.
It is.
So we've got meals with others, meals while traveling, office food. What else should we be thinking about when it comes to dining deductions?
Well, let's not forget about those all-important business events.
Yes.
You know, the holiday parties, the team celebrations, even client appreciation dinners.
All the fun stuff.
These events actually fall into a special category with 100% deductibility.
100%. So if I'm hosting a team lunch to celebrate landing a big client.
Yes.
Or having a company party to boost morale, we can deduct all of that.
You can deduct all of that as long as these events have a legitimate business purpose.
Okay.
So you can't just have, you know, your family barbecue and call it a company event for the tax write-off.
The IRS is not going to like
that. No, they're going to be like, are you sure about that?
Yeah, so documentation is key here, too.
Absolutely. You want to be able to show the IRS that this was a genuine business event.
So just to recap, we've got four main categories. Dining with others while doing business at 50%.
Yep.
Dining while traveling for business, 50%.
That's right.
Office food, 100% for customers, 50% for employees.
It's a little nuance.
Yeah, a little more nuance there.
Right.
And then event food, 100% for both customers and employees.
You got it.
It's all about understanding those little nuances and applying the right deduction to each scenario.
That's what it's all about.
This is making me rethink my entire strategy for my next business lunch.
Right.
But before we start planning our next delicious outing.
Yes.
I think we need to dive a little deeper into this documentation side of things.
Yeah, because that's really important.
Yeah, what kind of records should we be keeping to make sure we're maximizing those deductions and not giving the IRS any reason to come knocking?
That's a great point. Let's talk about that next.
Okay, so we've covered all those main categories of dining deductions.
We have.
But documentation seems to be...
Yeah, it's really key.
A recurring theme here.
It is.
So what kind of records should we actually be keeping to make sure that we are covered?
You're absolutely right. Solid record keeping is crucial.
Okay.
It's not just about keeping receipts for every meal.
Okay.
You really want to have those details.
Yeah.
About who you were with the purpose of the meeting and how it relates to your business.
So like if I'm grabbing coffee with a potential client...
Yeah.
I should be jotting down what we discussed. Like brainstorming marketing strategies.
Exactly. You know, a simple note like that.
Yeah.
On the back of the receipt or in a dedicated expense tracker can make a big difference.
Oh, so it doesn't have to be super formal.
It doesn't.
Okay.
Because it really shows the IRS that this wasn't just a casual social gathering. This was a legitimate business meeting.
What about meals while traveling? Do I need to document every single meal, even if I'm dining solo?
You should definitely keep those receipts. But you also want to document your travel itinerary. Yes. So having proof of your business travel dates and the purpose of your trip.
So plane tickets, hotel confirmations, conference agendas.
Exactly. All of that goes in the tax home documentation file.
Perfect. And all of that goes towards proving where your tax home is, if that's ever a question.
And remember, with the rise of remote work, your tax home might not be as straightforward as it used to be.
Right.
So having that clear documentation of your primary place of business is really more important than ever.
Okay. Now, what about office food?
Okay.
Since there are different deduction rules for food for customers versus employees.
Right.
Do we need to keep separate records for that?
You definitely want to be able to distinguish those expenses.
Okay.
So, for example, if you're providing snacks and coffee for a client meeting, make a note of that on the receipt.
Okay.
But if it's just your usual office coffee supply for employees, you can track those costs separately.
So two separate expense categories.
Exactly.
Client hospitality and employee morale.
You got it.
I'm getting the hang of this.
Yeah. And those seemingly small expenses for employee morale, they can really add up, especially for things like coffee, tea, and snacks.
Right.
So keeping good records there ensures that you're not missing out on those deductions.
Okay, what about event food? Those are 100% deductible, right?
Yes.
So do we need to be as meticulous with the documentation for those?
Even though the deduction percentage is more favorable, documentation is still really crucial.
Okay.
You want to be able to demonstrate that business purpose of the event.
Okay, so if we're hosting a company holiday party, we should keep a copy of the invitation, maybe a list of attendees, any other materials that show that it was a work-related event.
That's a great approach because it really clearly shows the IRS that this wasn't just a random social gathering.
This is all making me think about how I organize my business expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to ditch my shoebox full of receipts.
The shoebox,
get a better system.
Yeah, a dedicated expense tracker or app can be incredibly helpful. There are some great options out there that allow you to categorize expenses, attach your receipts, and even generate reports for you.
That's great.
So it can really streamline your record keeping and make tax time a lot less stressful.
Good point. I might have to look into that.
Yeah.
So we've covered the what and the how, but I'm curious about the why.
Okay.
Why are these dining deductions so important for business owners?
Yeah.
Is it really more than just saving a few bucks on taxes?
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
These deductions are part of a larger strategy
for
minimizing your tax liability and maximizing your profitability.
So by understanding these deductions and keeping good records, we're basically ensuring that we're paying our fair share of taxes.
Right.
But not a penny more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Okay.
And that's what smart business is all about.
Yeah.
Being strategic and informed about your finances.
This has been such a valuable deep dive. Right. Effie, I have a much better understanding of these dining deductions and how I can really leverage them to benefit my business.
That's great.
But I have to admit, I am already thinking about my next business lunch.
Oh, yeah.
And how I can make the most of these deductions.
Of course.
But is there anything else we should keep in mind?
Yeah.
As we're heading out to wine and dine those clients and colleagues.
There are definitely a few more nuances that we can explore.
Okay.
Let's talk about some common pitfalls to avoid.
Ooh, pitfalls. I like it.
And some strategic tips to really maximize those deductions.
All right, let's talk pitfalls.
Okay.
What are some things people get wrong with these dining deductions?
One of the biggest is inadequate documentation, like we've talked about.
Oh, right, right.
It's easy to think, oh, yeah, I'll totally remember that client lunch.
Yeah.
But without that receipt, without the details about what you talked about, why you were there,
right,
it could be really easily challenged.
So even if I'm like 100% certain that this meal was for business,
yeah,
if I don't have the paper trail,
pretty much,
it's like it never happened.
The IRS works on evidence, not assumptions.
I see.
So make sure you're keeping all those receipts organized, dated.
Okay.
Include notes on who you were with and what you talked about.
Okay, so really treat those receipts like gold.
Exactly.
Okay, what other mistakes should we avoid?
Another common one is blurring the lines between personal and business expenses.
Oh, yeah.
You know, having dinner with your spouse, even if you happen to chat about work.
Right.
It doesn't count as a business meal just because you talk shop.
Right. You got to keep those boundaries clear.
Exactly. For your own sanity.
Yeah.
And for the sake of those deductions.
And don't fall into the trap of thinking that, like, the most lavish meal is always better for the deduction.
That's a good point.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, a simple working lunch at a moderately priced restaurant is going to be better.
More advantageous.
Yes. Strategically advantageous than a really extravagant dinner.
So it's not just the who and the why of the meal.
No.
It's also the where and the what. When it comes to maximizing these deductions.
It's all about making those smart choices that align with both your business goals.
Right.
And your tax strategy.
It's like a puzzle.
Yeah.
Figuring out how to make all the pieces fit.
I like that analogy.
For the best possible outcome.
It is, and it's about being informed and strategic.
Yeah.
And remember, these dining deductions are just one piece of the puzzle.
Right.
When it comes to managing your business finances.
Well, this has been so helpful.
Good. I'm glad.
It's really shedding light on all these hidden opportunities within these everyday expenses that I wasn't even thinking about.
Right.
I feel so much more confident about navigating these dining deductions now.
I'm happy to hear that. And remember, staying informed and seeking guidance from a qualified tax professional can make all the difference when it comes to optimizing your tax strategy.
All right. And for all our listeners out there, the next time you're planning that business lunch or client dinner, remember what we talked about today.
Absolutely.
Keep those receipts organized.
Yes.
Be mindful of those business purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, enjoy the rewards
of
those dining deductions.
Happy dining.
Until next time.
Yes.
May your business meals be both delicious and deductible.
Absolutely.